Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today's show features Seth's conversation with Riverdale's Cole Sprouse. But first, let's hear a closer look, followed by jokes Seth can't tell.
After a week in which his administration argued that civilians should not challenge generals, President Trump returned to the place where he is never challenged, Fox News, to try to right the ship and push his domestic agenda. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Trump and his White House have spent the last week lashing out at the family of a fallen soldier and a congresswoman close to that family. And obviously, it's not a good look for the administration, so the president has retreated to his comfort zone, attacking the media. On Sunday morning, he tweeted, "It is finally sinking through. 46% of people believe major national news organizations fabricate stories about me. Fake news, even worse, lost cred." Look, the only one who has lost cred here is the guy who's tweeting in all caps. If you ask an ex how he's doing and he writes back, "I'm doing fine," you believe him. But if he writes, "I'm doing fine," like this, you immediately call his best friend and say, "I think you need to check on Dave." So after yet another week of scandal, Trump once again fled to his permanent refuge, his home away from golf, Fox News, where he was asked about his habit of tweeting obsessively about his critics and offered this truly mind-bending defense.
"I have friends that say, oh, don't use social media. See, I don't call it tweets. Tweeting is like a typewriter. When I put it out, you put it immediately on your show."
That's right. Tweeting is like a typewriter. Of course, the only thing that would make Trump's tweets more pathetic is if they were actually written on a typewriter. "All of my enemies in the fake news media are haters and losers. Sad." "Oh, this is very good. Send that out." Trump went on to defend his use of Twitter by once again attacking the media and, for some reason, making use of what seems to be his favorite sound effect.
"You know, they're well-crafted. I was always a good student. I'm like a person that does well with that kind of thing. There is a fake media out there. I get treated very unfairly by the media, and I have a tremendous platform. So when somebody says something about me, I'm able to go bing, 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 and I take care of it."
Bing, bing, bing. Just when I thought Trump couldn't get any worse, he's one of those guys who tweets with his keyboard sounds turned on. So Trump thinks lashing out at the media will somehow help him with his domestic agenda, specifically his proposed tax cuts. Last week, Senate Republicans passed a budget that paves the way for Trump's tax cut plan, with $473 billion in cuts from Medicare and $1 trillion from Medicaid. So what will taxpayers get in return for those brutal cuts? Trump has claimed repeatedly that his tax plans would increase average household income by $4,000 a year. But even that $4,000 claim is a lie because, according to Bloomberg, Trump's own economic advisors have said that the $4,000 benefit would only materialize over 8 years. And one tax expert told the Washington Post the $4,000 promise was absolute pie in the sky. They might just as well promise a unicorn in every pot. And if there's anyone who I believe would try to eat a unicorn, it is Donald Trump.
I eat unicorns by the bucket. They are magically delicious.
In fact, not only are the Republicans looking to gut Medicare and Medicaid, their plan might even raise taxes on middle-class Americans to pay for tax cuts for higher earners. By 2027, more than one of every four middle-income families would pay more in taxes. Meanwhile, those earning about $900,000 and above in 2027 would get a tax cut averaging about $230,000. So how could Trump possibly defend a plan that raises taxes on the middle class and cuts them for high earners? Well, by not knowing or understanding anything about it. On Sunday, Trump was asked about his plan and meandered his way through a nonsensical answer that somehow involved New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
If the top earners pay 80% of the taxes, why are you so afraid to cut taxes on the top earners?
I think this. Look, you know, I am very happy with the way I've done prior to this in my civilian life, all right?
This is not about
other
you.
People. Well, it's about me representing rich people. Let's say representing, you know, being representative of rich people. It's very interesting to me. Bob Kraft was down. He was very nice. He owns the Patriots. He gave me a Super Bowl ring a month ago. And he left.
And took his, right?
Which was very nice. Yeah, that's right. But he left this beautiful ring, and I immediately give it to the White House, and they put it someplace, and that's the way it is. But he said to me, he's a good man.
Oh, my God, what are you talking about? Although it makes sense that he got a Super Bowl ring because he obviously has a terrible concussion. He cannot go back in the game. Also, Maria, you asked a question about taxes and then accepted those rambling answers? You're like a babysitter with no backbone. So your mom said no food after 9. I'm gonna have pizza. Okay, but only one slice. No, a whole pizza, and you're gonna pay for it. Okay, but after that, straight to bed. No, after that, I'm gonna smoke some weed, and you're gonna go to bed. Okay. Sounds great. Now, despite the savage cuts to Medicare and Medicaid and tax hikes for middle-class Americans, Trump still remains confident the Republicans have the votes to pass their tax plan.
Do you think you have the votes?
I think we have the votes.
There you go. Simple as that. And when Donald Trump says he has the votes, you know you can believe him.
I also want to provide a brief update on health care. We have the votes.
For the most part, I think we have the vote for that.
We are very close. We feel we have the votes. We have either have the votes or we're very close to having the votes, and we will get the votes.
We have the votes for health care. Health care, we have it. We have the votes, but I feel we have the votes. I'm almost certain we have the votes. But on health care, we have the votes, because as you know, we have the votes. But from the Republican standpoint, we have the votes.
When Trump says we have the votes, it carries about the same weight as this.
Arby's, we have the meat.
Do you? Because I'm a little suspicious that you're calling it the meat. From the animals? Now, naturally, Democrats have already criticized the GOP for slashing taxes on high earners while cutting Medicare and Medicaid. And on Sunday, Trump claimed those Democrats, like Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, were being disingenuous. Although, again, his argument made very little sense.
I like Schumer, but before he even knows the plan, say, oh, this is for the rich. He doesn't even know what the plan is, and he's screaming it's for the rich. He did it with health care, too. He said, this is for the rich. This is for the rich. You're not going to get your coverage. Everybody is going to go into hospitals. It's going to be terrible. The world is coming to an end, okay? Didn't even know what the plan was. And that's okay. You know, we're all learning politics, right?
No! We're not all learning politics. You're the only one learning politics. Trump's like the guy at book club who just assumes everyone else skipped the book, too. Hey, we're all learning how to read, right? In fact, just to give you an idea of how in over his head Trump still is, even this far into his presidency, watch this part of the interview where Trump was asked about tech companies that sell users' private data. Not only does Trump have no idea what he's talking about, it's almost as if he's never even heard of this before.
I'm wondering what you think about tech right now, because you have these companies that are more powerful than ever before. They've got everything, all this data on us. They're selling the data. Should the tech companies be more regulated?
Well, I guess some people talk about freedom and other people talk about we want to know who's taking ads or doing whatever. And I would imagine something's going to come down along the line like we're doing right now for regular, you know, whether it's commercial or not, for a normal broadcast company. It'll be very interesting to see. You know, that's an argument that's happening right now. Okay. It'll be very interesting to see what. There are two very distinct views on that. I can go, honestly, I can go either way on it.
He talks like he's trying to stall a security guard while his friends steal the opposing school's mascot.
Why am I here? I'm gonna check a book out from the library. And the thing is, I could wait till Monday morning, but I'm a reader. You know, look, we're all learning how to read, right? We're all learning how to read.
Of course, Trump can comfortably go on Fox News and breeze past questions without answering them because he knows he won't be challenged. And as we've seen, he viciously attacks anyone who does challenge him, like Florida Congresswoman Frederica Wilson. Last week, Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, criticized Wilson for an account of a call Trump placed to the widow of a soldier killed in Niger, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, despite the fact that Wilson is close to the family and was in the car when Trump's call came. Today, Johnson's widow, Maisha Johnson, confirmed Wilson's account of that call, including the fact that Trump apparently didn't know her husband's name. And, of course, that meant that Trump had to impulsively fire back on Twitter, writing, "I had a very respectful conversation with the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson and spoke his name from beginning without hesitation." Look, just stop. Stop tweeting. Stop responding. Do what a normal, decent human being would do. Apologize and then be quiet. Or at least limit your comments to something less offensive, like
Bing, Bing, Bing.
Or better than that, just use Bing. Now, last week, Kelly, who is, of course, a four-star Marine general, talked to the White House press corps and spoke movingly about the difficulties of speaking to the families of fallen soldiers. But he also told a story about a speech Wilson gave at the dedication of an FBI building in 2015, a story that contained several false claims. And in another authoritarian turn, when the White House was asked on Friday about Kelly misstating those facts, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said reporters could not question Kelly because he's a four-star Marine general.
If you want to get into a debate with a four-star Marine general, I think that that's something highly inappropriate.
Is it? Because the last time people refused to question a general, he turned out to be a foreign agent. I mean, are we just supposed to blindly believe without question that for a great low rate, you can get online, go to the general, and save some time? I'm not willing to blindly believe that. But to be fair, Trump has a point. It's inappropriate to question a Marine general. Like, for example, retired four-star Marine General John Allen, who criticized Trump at last year's Democratic convention.
They had a general named John Allen, and I never met him. And he got up and he started talking about Trump, Trump, Trump. Never met him. And you know who he is? He's a failed general.
That's right. He's a failed general as opposed to Donald Trump, who's a general failure. Now, Trump is attacking anyone who dares to challenge him, whether it's the news media, football players, or a member of Congress. And he's trying to restart his domestic agenda by lying about his policies. In fact, from now on, anytime Trump talks about his tax plan or his health care bill, it should be followed by this.
Trump, we have the votes.
This has been A Closer Look. Every night here at Late Night, I deliver a monologue. The monologue is comprised of jokes written by a diverse team of writers. As a result, a lot of jokes come across my desk that, due to my being a straight white male, would be difficult for me to deliver, but we don't think that should stop you from enjoying them, so we'd like to share them with you in a segment called Joke Seth Can't Tell. These are two of our writers, Amber and Jenny.
I'm black.
And I'm gay.
And we're both women.
And I'm not. So here's how this works. I'll read the setups for these jokes, and Amber and Jenny will read the punchlines. Here we go. Billboard recently published a list of the 30 best lesbian love songs, including one song by the Indigo Girls.
And 29 other songs by the Indigo Girls.
A children's book author is under fire for writing a story about a black Santa.
A black Santa is like a regular Santa, except he doesn't get there until the 27th.
Amber!
Sorry. A black Santa is like a regular Santa, except his packages are bigger.
Amber!
Sorry. A black Santa is like a regular Santa, but instead of ho, 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 he goes, ho, 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 you called us a cookie.
Amber!
Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry.
A lesbian in Florida was recently told she could not enter a nightclub because of the shoes she was wearing.
Let's get out of here, said the lesbian to her cat.
A 7-year-old girl is currently on a mission to hug a police officer in all 50 states.
So, yeah, she's white.
According to a recent study, 11% of gay male couples have experienced problems with wedding vendors.
While the other 89% are wedding vendors.
So, Jenny, what's the biggest difference between a straight wedding and a gay wedding?
The reason the parents are crying.
The African American History Museum will be honored with a forever stamp.
Of course, if you want to lick something in honor of African American history, I'm right here, baby.
I think I could have told that one.
I don't think you could have.
That one would have worked for me.
Because you wouldn't have meant it.
A British blog recently published a list of slang terms for lesbian.
Number one on the list, mom's new friend.
So, Jenny, what's your favorite slang term for lesbian?
I'd say coach. Oh.
No, no, no. Flannel enthusiast.
Oh, Seth Meyers lookalike.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's the best one. That's the best one. Hey, Seth, why don't you tell
no,
me?
No, I don't think I'd get away with it.
Oh, come on, just one.
I feel like this will end badly.
Oh, please, Seth, please.
Oh, yeah, okay. The Boy Scouts of America announced recently that they will allow girls to join their programs. And when they heard that, all the Boy Scouts pitched a tent.
How dare you!
You told me it would be okay!
You should be ashamed of yourself!
Black women and lesbians are liars! Our guest is currently starring as Jughead Jones on the breakout hit Riverdale, which airs on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on the CW. Please welcome to the show, Cole Sprouse, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for finally having me.
Congratulations on Riverdale. Yes, and I'm sorry it took me this long to have you, but I also want to apologize for something else.
What's that?
Your co-stars, Lily and Camilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
They came on the show, Betty and Veronica, and I was excited to talk to them about some of their co-stars on the show, Luke Perry, Molly Ringwald, big deals to me, being the age I am. And we had this exchange, and you'll understand why I owe you an apology. When you found out you were working with them, did those names mean anything to you?
Of course. I mean, everyone, yeah.
Well, for
it meant, yeah. I mean, I didn't know who Luke Perry was.
Okay.
For me, it was more like Cole Sprouse.
Yeah, for us, it was like, Cole Sprouse, sweet life. Yeah. We grew up with that.
Okay, now, tell me something real quick. Who is Cole Sprouse? I'm so sorry. But it would have been slightly creepy if I knew who you were, right?
Whatever helps you get to sleep.
Yeah, but I apologize.
No, please, come on.
But I wasn't watching a lot of Disney Channel in my late 20s.
Still no?
Still no, still even less. Still but I have no? a kid now, and so as long as repeats are happening, I
They're
would feel like...
They're going to show it till I'm old and gray.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, like, you know, 5-6 years from now, I'm going to come into the full bloom of your early work.
I'll finally have a bit of a mustache in 5 or 6 years.
So this is...
You'll still be seeing those episodes.
So you were somebody who liked comics.
Big time,
worked
yeah.
in a comic book store, is that true?
I did, yeah. I worked at a comic shop called Meltdown Comics.
I used to go to Meltdown Comics all the time on Sunset.
Yeah, those guys are killer.
I knew you. I didn't know you from Disney Channel. I knew you as the guy who sold me comic books.
Right, yeah. Right. How the tables have turned. It's making me feel a little more in power now.
There you go. So, but this is sort of obviously a reimagining of Archie Comics.
Right.
Were you drawn to the idea of doing it in a different way?
At first, if I'm being completely honest, no. It seemed a little scary to me because when you come from a comic background, which I'm sure you get, You also come from a background of, like, purity and purism. And,
adhering to the source.
Right, right. That when you start to see people mess with that really nostalgic property you love, it can be quite incendiary. So when I first read it, I was a little bit wary. And then I did my audition just like Rod Serling when I went in. I read, because he's the narrator in the show, I read it like Rod Serling. And I kind of knew from there it was going to be... a little stranger, a little weirder, a little more Twilight Zone, and I figured, okay, you know, this could be fun. Let's give it a shot.
I heard you had an argument, though, about the purity of Jughead's dog.
Right.
And so this is about the casting of a physical dog.
Right.
You had an issue with one of the show's creators.
Right.
What was your issue? What did you think the dog should be?
Oh, man. Okay.
Look, I love it. You're a very method actor. You want to work with the right kind of dogs.
I need the right dog. I need to live with the dog and breathe with the dog. No, so Jughead's dog in the comics is a dog called Hot Dog. And he's undoubtedly the worst part of the digests. Hands down, he's the scariest thing and adds really not too much. But for some reason, I was addicted to the idea of having an English sheepdog like he is in the comics.
Yep.
And he was originally pitched as like a pit bull.
Oh, so you were very upset with that.
And I thought, okay, well, we got to try and figure out a way to get an English sheepdog. So for a week, I was trying to wear Roberto down about this. And we got this dog. And this dog was the worst actor I have ever...
The sheepdog.
The sheepdog, yes.
Yeah, I grew up with sheepdogs, and they are lovely creatures who are dumb as rocks.
So
yeah.
dumb.
So I can't imagine any of my dogs growing up being able to, like,
it
hit a marker.
It barked the whole time. It didn't hit its mark. It broke fourth wall consistently.
Yeah.
It was just no good.
All right, well, I'm glad you're owning up to that.
I made a mistake.
All right, good, thank you. You do something that I love... You're very active
Finally.
On Twitter.
One thing that you love.
No, I love a lot about you. And
go
But
on.
This is great. So you take advantage of people post about you and your twin brother Dylan a lot. And your responses to them, I have to say, are really, really funny because you were
here's one,
yeah, news articles. So there's one, a picture of your brother, and it says 10 child stars who are completely broke, and then you wrote to your brother, did you hear the news?
Right.
I really like that.
And he did hear the news.
This one wrote, Cole, I hate wet, sloppy kisses. And your response to that was, I'm also wearing a plaid train conductor's hat. So why are you trusting my 10-year-old opinion?
Jeez.
This is my favorite, though.
This was a look.
This is a very, because you see these all the time. They're like clickbait. This is 32 child stars who died shockingly young. A photo of you, shockingly alive.
Right.
And you wrote, dead on the inside counts too. Which is excellent. Excellent. But,
That was my Twitter peak.
No, I think
Afterwards
I'm about...
All...
This, I think, is your Twitter peak right
okay.
here. And I'm gonna... This is a poem that you wrote, you posted, a poem you wrote to your mom. But instead of showing, letting people read it, I would love for you to read it. Because it is...
Like to
you wrote, and you did write, I was a psycho baby before it was hip.
I love you, Mom. You are the best. You're better than all the rest. And if anyone ever takes us apart, I'd repeatedly stab them in the heart.
Look at the handwriting. Look how young you were. That's fantastic. Was that very in line with your thinking back then?
Right. I just brought that angst all the way into Riverdale.
Yeah, exactly. That should have been your audition.
I've been method forever.
Yeah,
right,
here's
right.
what you need to know right. about Jughead.
Right.
Congrats on the show. Really lovely to have you
Appreciate
here.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Cole Sprouse, everybody. New episodes of Riverdale air on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on the CW.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Once upon a beat! Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the new Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.